radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Human being located where there's so much information to take, then you enter and try to make what you get on the internet become worldwide web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Julius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Don't try to fight.
You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul channel. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. It's my pleasure to be your host and facilitator for today's program. We started off our program today with a message in the music. Vocalist Kenny Wesley, featuring Trey Ely on the flute, Rock With You, the Michael Jackson classic that has been reborn anew, exciting, and unique in their rendition of that classic song. And our guests today are Trey Ely, a musician, and full disclosure, he's my cousin, but that does not minimize his talent and his creativity, and you'll hear that as we continue to sample his music, along with his partner, Matthew Schell, who's a sound engineer, he's a mixer, he's a producer, and Trey is also a producer, having produced his own solo albums and his collaborative effort with not only Matthew, but also with his group, the Jazz Boys. So we're in for a treat, and we'll listen to them following these messages. So don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. So stay tuned.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com. Or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul at blakeradio.com as the email address, and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support. Junius Ricardo Stanton here with some truly great news. The Blake Radio Network has officially released the new Rainbow Soul iPhone and Android apps worldwide. Now there is also an HTML version for all other cell phones. The apps can be accessed from www.blakeradio.com on the Rainbow Soul page or directly from the iPhone App Store or Android Market. These apps will allow you to lock in exclusively to the Rainbow Soul broadcast with the touch of a button. These acquisitions complete
the development and release of all the apps for the Blake Radio Network family of channels, which includes Rainbow Soul, the Alt Talk channel, and Music Massage, an eclectic mix of R&B, jazz, soul, and reggae slow jams for your listening edification and entertainment. So take full advantage of this opportunity for connectivity and mobility by downloading your respective app from your source. Continue listening to the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul and Music Massage.
This is Professor Griff. You're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up. All right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Hello? Trey, say something.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, Matthew?
Hello, how are you?
Okay, I'm good. All right, we're good. Our guests on today's program are Matthew Shell, and full disclosure, my cousin Trey Ely, who's an artist, a musician. Mr. Shell is a sound engineer. He's a mixer and a producer, and he and Trey have collaborated on an upcoming CD entitled Freedom, and it's my pleasure to have them both on today's program. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you
for having me.
It's my pleasure. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Matthew, you can start first, and then Trey can, when he trails off, you can chime in.
Well, thank you, sir. My name is Matthew Shell. I am, as you said, a music producer and engineer, and I live in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, and I've been blessed to work with a lot of wonderful artists in the jazz genre, along with many artists in the world of rock music, hip-hop, R&B, and many genres beyond that as well.
How'd you get into sound engineering, mixing, and producing?
Ever since high school, I've had an interest in that, and it took many years of me trying to do it on my own and then hearing one friend do it so much better after only a few months of doing it because he had gone to school, for me to realize I needed to go to Omega and just suck it up and get some training, and just in order to get to that next level, I needed to really just take the pride out of it and go to Omega and really learn my craft. And after that, a lot of doors opened because I actually took the time and learned what it takes to be a real engineer.
Now, did you get your start doing live, working the board for live programming, or in the recording studio? How did you really get into the business?
Actually, that is actually how I got my start. Right after I studied at Omega, I was recruited by McLean Bible Church to be a volunteer with their live sound team.
Mm-hmm.
One of the teachers at Omega recommended me to the director at McLean Bible, and it just opened doors. And from that, I met Kevin Gutierrez, who is the director at Assembly Line Studios. He was running the boards for the night service for Frontline.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was really impressed by my work ethic, coming every week, always being motivated and learning quickly, and from doing live sound and being efficient and effective at that with him, he opened the door to let me come and work at his studio and do production, which once he found out that's what I really love to do, he was just really happy to open the door for that. So yes, as you said, you're very right. Live sound opened the door to studio work.
Now, had you worked with musicians before? Did you have a background in music yourself?
Oh, yes, my parents, growing up, my mom was a concert pianist. She had gone to the Royal College of Music in London. My dad had played trombone in the Navy. My music mentor, Andre Law, he had been mentored by Skip Scarborough from Earth, Wind, and Fire. So I grew up with a lot of music mentoring people who had great musical ability, and also I have a great heritage in music since my mom is actually from Africa. So I was exposed to a lot of music from around the world,
mm-hmm.
and also she had a great background in classical music. So both between her and my dad, just growing up, there was a lot of really diverse music from around the world in the house. So it's always been a part of my soul and heritage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trey, tell us about yourself. I know a little bit about you, but share your background with our audience.
Sure. I've been a musician since I was a young child, mainly influenced by my father, who is also a musician. So I grew up around music. So I'm also from the Washington, D.C. area. And my father actually, came up when he was, a little bit before my time. He traveled as a minister of music for an international church and, done a lot of things in music. So his experience and that exposure kind of got me into music pretty early. He always said he made a point not to force me to do music. So I actually can say that I chose, or as I like to say, music chose me. And so that's something that I decided to pursue and continue. Growing up in the house, it wasn't just, a lot of people talk about their parents, they listen to, all this great music because they're listening with their parents. But I didn't just listen to music. I listened to music and got lectures and sermons and whatever else, just being taught about, the different things in music. So listening to music growing up for me was an experience and education. It was all, it was like a schooling in itself. And so playing music at school with band directors and then coming home when you practice and you have somebody, who's served in the capacity as a professional musician, in the other room listening to you practice, whether you realize it or not, was kind of a, interesting experience as well. So, he would come chime in on what he thought about my practice habits, which weren't always positive. So,
well, I remember you from him bringing you to the reunions and, you guys playing together. Did you ever think that you would move beyond that to where you are now and doors are getting ready to even greater doors and opportunities are getting ready to open up for you?
I don't know if I ever really thought it would happen, but I always really wanted it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that I've always dreamed about. So I don't know whether I thought it would happen or not. It's something that I always thought about. I'll say that much.
Mm-hmm. Now your dad is like most fathers, very very proud of you, and he's very supportive of you. So this next rung up the ladder, how has he been with that? I mean, it's almost like he's a proud grandfather or something, because he's really pumping the CD out.
Well, yeah, and he is a proud grandfather, as my sister has three kids, so he actually is. But as far as the music is concerned, yes, he's definitely proud. It's a lot easier now for me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be as tough on me now, obviously. So I think he's seeing the reward of his investment that he put in me, because he and my mother both have put a lot of effort and investment into whatever I needed to be successful,
right. Mm-hmm.
Music and other work, mm-hmm. otherwise. And so it just so happened that my father happened to be the one with the experience of being a musician. So absolutely.
How did the two of you meet and where?
I'm assuming you're saying Matt and I, because
mm-hmm.
Dad and I, obviously.
No,
Matt
and I met
Matt.
Yeah, I remember the exact night. The gentleman I told you about, my uncle Andre Law, who was my music mentor, his niece Sherelle Law was having her 18th birthday party, and she hired Trey and Marcus Mitchell to perform that night. And I just thought they were incredible, and we just stayed in touch after that. And we didn't really connect musically for a couple of years. We just were friends first. And then we met again at a Grammy event. And from there, just, started listening to each other's music more. And Trey, do you remember how it continued after that? I just remember us meeting and reconnecting and just building a friendship and then moving on toward, hey, why don't we do some music together, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think the one we worked with Carolyn Malachi, who's a mutual friend of ours, a Grammy-nominated artist, a vocalist. She Matt, her and I worked on some stuff together, and from that point, we've kind of just kind of stuck together as far as working together, you know. So.
Yeah, that was the first. Yep, that song "Beauty and Freedom," and then also "Beautiful Dreamer," the offshoot of that song. That was our first song together. Yeah, very cool.
Now, did you know of each other through the music, the circles, and the professional circles in the D.C. area, the club scene, and maybe some studio sessions in addition to working with a young lady?
I think that we had some mutual musician friends. I mean, I know there was a couple musicians that I played with and groups that had worked with Matt before. So yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does it work? Because Matt, he's has history working the boards, working with musicians and artists. He has the sound in his head. You're a musician yourself. You've coming off of your own solo CDs as well as with your group. So how does the collaboration begin, aside from the friendship and the mutual respect? How does all that play out when you're planning a project like this?
I would say that we both have common ground in that we're both producers. I mean, I self-produce my just about all my projects. Mm-hmm. You know, I had even the ones that, like the Jazz Boys project where we worked with David Joubert, who produced it. I mean, I did a lot of the kind of like executive producing type of stuff, a lot of the organization along with Marcus Mitchell. So, you know, both of us, you know, produced all of our projects for the most part. So we, you know, just coming together and kind of trying to share knowledge. I think we really started out by more so than deciding to work together. We decided to kind of come together and share knowledge. You know, there's things I know that Matt didn't, and there's things Matt knew I didn't, you know, and you know, so there was things that we wanted to learn from each other, and we kind of just went from there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think another thing that it just happened organically was because we both have a background in live performance too, which makes us unique as producers. I played a lot in church growing up. I played guitar, and Trey played in church, you know, with his performance skills. And also he actually has way more live experience just because he plays with his band and with Marcus Mitchell. But, I mean, I think that common ground also united us in that we're musicians before we're producers. Like, we really honed our craft at our instruments, and I think we relate on that level too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in real life, producers really are musicians. I mean, nowadays people use the term producer kind of loosely, because people can just sit in front of a computer and do
right.
something.
Right.
But the computer is just a tool. I mean, it's okay to use a computer, but it's just a tool, and it's really a producer should be a musician. I mean, that's kind of like part of the skill set.
Because I wanted you to we're going to listen to some tracks from the upcoming CD that's going to be released this week, entitled Freedom, and I wanted you to take us through the process. Now you both have backgrounds as musicians, producers, so when you came together, what were the type of pre-production discussions that you talked about, in addition to, you know, who was going to be on the project, who were the musicians going to be, where you were going to do the sessions? What took place prior to the sessions?
What I was going to chime in is one thing that I like about music. You know, I'm involved in different types of business, and one thing that is kind of cool about the music business is that part of the process often is a lot less formal than in other areas of business. I mean, you still have to do your business. You still have to do the things that you need to do to be successful. But at the same time, I mean, when approaching a song concept or idea, you could just, you know, have an idea or something that you're kicking around, and you could just do it, you know, and you know, just pass it on and say, hey, look, I'm kind of working on this. What do you think? You want to add something to it? You want to do something? I mean, it's very open and free, you know, to do that, and that's kind of where the title Freedom came from, because that was the whole concept of this project. We didn't sit down and say, okay, we're going to look for about 11 tracks, and we want six musicians that are of this type of skill set, and we want this, and we didn't do all of that. We just said, hey, man, let's just make some music, and hey, I got this song. You want to do something with this? I've been kind of working on this. Here, listen to this. Do you think this will fit? And just, you know, just being able to do what you feel, you know, and it's kind of like, hopefully, you know, that the goal is to transfer that over to the listener, that it's just, it's not all uptight. You know, they have to be all uptight all day at work. You know, when they kick back and listen to our music, we want them not uptight, you know. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
Matt?
Yeah, I would totally agree. The only thing I had in mind when I started was just live drums. That was my main thing. I felt we'd differentiate ourselves from what's on a lot of the radio right now, which is a lot of synthesized stuff. I said, well, the only thing in my mind as far as a goal was just to have live drums and really a goal to relax and speak to the soul of people with our music. But otherwise, like Trey said, it was very experimental and fun and freeing. We just sent each other. I sent orchestrations. There are 18 more songs that I sent that we haven't even finished that, you know, we're working on still for other projects. So it was just a very free, open atmosphere. And there were key players such as Vaughn Stefanian, and David Joubert and Marcus Hubbard, who are like our key musicians. But then we invited others as well on the certain tracks as it naturally organically grew. And I just really enjoyed the process. It was a lot of fun, and the goal in the end was just to make this wonderful, relaxing music, and we hope the world loves it. So thank you.
Now, we started off the program with Kenny Wesley's rendition of Rock With You. Now, you produced that, Matt?
We did it together. Mm-hmm. Me and Trey, basically the same, like both free concept. I was teaching him how to use a specific software, which I don't want to name at the moment, but in the process of making it, this basic structure for this orchestration came out so good that we're like, Trey said, hey, let me send this to my pianist friend, David Joubert. And then I said, yeah, and once he's done, let me send it to my bass player friend, Marcus Hubbard in Nashville. And then once we got their parts, we were like, wow, this is pretty good. And I let Kenny Wesley hear it, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to add my funk to this. And Kenny just completely made an amazing arrangement of vocals, and then Trey helped with that by adding lots of great flute parts and layers. And it just like Trey said, it just really was a free process. We didn't plan to do that song. Like, we got to have a Michael Jackson cover. No, it wasn't like that. It was just like, hey, let me show you how to do this software. And in the end, it just turned into this great song. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, have people expressed to you how dynamic it is? I mean, because it's tough to take and make a cover of someone who's as iconic as Michael Jackson and to bring something unique to it, which Ooh. You have done. And so what has been the response to that? I mean,
we've gotten a good response to that. I mean, yeah, I've had multiple people tell me that it's better than the original, which I quickly told them, no, you're crazy. I don't even want to, you know, go there. But just to have people that kind of think that is just kind of mind-blowing in itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I agree with them, but it's just at the same time, it's like, people actually look, you know, or, you know, think highly of what we did.
Yeah, I think people, they know that there's another version out there, but your energy and your creativity make it unique. So it's not like, oh, well, that's just, you know, they're trying to, you know, imitate Michael Jackson. It does not come across that way at all.
I'd rather it not be a comparison. That's the way I like it. I mean, you know, no way in the world do I want to compare myself to Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones. You know, I'd rather stay safe from that, you know, and just kind of do my thing, because these are the people that I learn from. And, you know, that's the music that I was talking about, a lot of the music I was talking about that I was listening to when I was learning. So I wouldn't get in a position where I go, you know, say, hey, we're better than those guys. You know, and no, by no means am I trying to say that.
No, but that took courage to attempt to do that. And the final product is not like that at all. It's almost has a life of its own and a uniqueness of its own.
Well, I think the key.
And we really love it. We love that. That's my favorite song of all time. So I'd never done a cover before that. Mm-hmm. So I said, if I'm going to do cover any song, this would be the one. I'm going to put my everything, you know, and Trey put his everything, all the musicians put their everything, just to make it really respectful, you know? Like, it's really, we show our love for Michael and Quincy Jones, Rod Temperton, everyone involved with that song. Like,
it's a great song. I mean, I mean, there was a lot of respect from the musicians. I mean, you got to think that these are people who love music. So when approaching this song, there's just a lot of respect that goes into it. And also, you know, because of the song itself and because of the original performance and who it was, the other thing about it is that we had to keep going back to the fact that the way we approached this album, the way we approached this song, is that we weren't sitting down saying, hey, let's make a song for an album. We were sitting down saying, hey, check this out. Let's do this or let's try this. Like Matt said, he was showing me something a trick that he knew that I could use, which I end up actually using that trick on other songs on the album, which we won't get into trade secrets here on the phone. But, I mean, there's some of the things that came from it. So it was there was no pressure, because it was never approached as like, hey, let's put this on the album. Let's do this. Let's get Kenny to sing on. It wasn't. It just evolved, you know, organically. We just, you know, said, hey, let's just make some music and let's just try something. So the pressure was never there. You know, it just happened to come out good enough that we said, hey, we want to share this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an example of being in a creative flow where, you know, it wasn't forced. You know, you're not starting something apologetic where you have to go out front and apologize for what you're attempting to do. You just did it, and it sounds great. Now, share Beauty and Freedom. The whole compilation of the musicians and the feel for that. Where did that come from?
There's a funny story behind that, actually. Baby. But, yeah, that's my baby. It was actually turned down by a film. They had asked me to. I've scored 5 films, but this was actually a request to score a film. They wanted their opening credits to have a piece that they described as uplifting in 6/8 time and just very spiritual almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when I created it, they said it was too clean. The original version I made, they said it was too clean. So I just redid it and played guitar. So there is actually another version of the song that's just completely simple, just guitar. And that's the version they used in the film. And I called it something else. But I was like, y'all are crazy. I'm keeping this for something. And so, like, I just kept working on it. And it took us a year to do that song, because I kept going back and tweaking it, taking out parts, moving stuff, changing the arrangement, making it longer. It got to, like, 10 minutes long. And then Carolyn blessed it with her vocals. There's another version of it called Beautiful Dreamer extended jazz mix, and then there's a 4-minute version called Beautiful Dreamer, and then there's like the djembe outro version where Jabari Essen played. So there's just so much love was put into that song, but it just goes back to, you know, like believing in what you do, even though it was rejected by the film director. It's like, it's too clean. Like, I just need something simple. I knew it had potential. I knew it would bless a lot of people, so I stuck with it. And everyone else who touched it was really happy with it, so I knew it had potential.
All right, well, we're listening to a little bit of it in the background so people can get a sense of what you're talking about. But talking about listening to it and people appreciating it and impacting people's spirit and emotion and moods, how do you plan to market the CD? It's coming out on August 30th. As we record this, it's 2 days from now. So what are some of the means, other than doing programs like this, where you will market the CD? And how does the internet factor into your marketing strategy? Because you're using YouTube quite effectively. The way the industry is moving now, share some of your strategies for marketing.
We've been really, really, really blessed. In the last few weeks, Trey and I have been featured on Grammy.com, OK Player, this magazine called Generation Based, which has a huge following, like 60,000 followers in Amsterdam, of all places. It's been shared in the Washington Post, Washington City Paper. Our music's been featured on Fox 5 and so many outlets. We've been really blessed. So our online presence right now is at a point where, like, we really are going to use that momentum and just pray a lot and work with our team to really now try to reach radio. Because, like, our online presence, God has blessed us. I mean, the Grammy thing just popped off last week. I mean, they really put a lot of love into that article for us. They changed our biography. They picked pictures that we didn't even submit to them and everything. I mean, it's really crazy some of the doors God has opened for us. So I think we're just keeping up with the momentum that has been created by major media outlets. And I think the average listener appreciates the music more because at the moment it's not on radio. It's like they're discovering it, like a new artist who's not in the mainstream. A lot of, I find that a lot of listeners appreciate artists that are kind of like something they got to discover on their own, you know? So like we're kind of at that stage and it's exciting. And what do you think, Trey?
Well, and then the other thing is, you know, with the times changing, I mean, terrestrial radio is kind of dwindling down a little bit. I mean, it's still there. But, I mean, a lot of programs like yours and stuff like that, people are listening to either that or Pandora or those sorts of things, you know. So the market is more open and more competitive for people to just be able to submit their music and have it, you know, on internet radio and Spotify and Flagger Radio, Pandora, all the stuff that people listen to. I mean, how many people really stick a old radio on their desk nowadays? Most people just, you know, use an internet device and just listen from that.
Yeah, or in their personal devices, laptops, notebooks, iPhones, smartphones, things like that.
Yep, so that's the way, the direction things are going, you know, so... you know, like Wayne Gretzky said, you know, skate where the puck is going, not where it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Now, given that, because traditionally there was always the tie-ins with the radio stations and the clubs, so in terms of personal appearances, performances, how are you going to handle that? I mean, obviously there's a whole new genre of exposure out there. How you know, share the traditional way in the past and then share what's going on now, because both of you guys are working as musicians.
Well, of course, shameless plug. Our first our album release party is November 1st at the City Club of Washington, so we'll put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our management team is very creative, so. You know, I'm going to really look to lean on their expertise on different ways that we can, get, you know, good performance opportunities, branding opportunities, placement in places where, you know, it's going to make us, it's going to represent what we represent. The thing that, if I've learned anything from my, career of playing music and playing different venues is to... to ensure that we're not just playing every little thing that comes up or just putting ourselves in situations that are not, you know, in alignment with the type of music we're doing. You know, we want to make sure that we get in front of the people who really want to hear and appreciate our music and that we can, you know, best deliver for. So that, you know, it just creates a good situation for us and the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to establish a site for this particular album? Or are you going to put it on your website? And how can people, because as this comes out, people will be aware that it is available. So how can people listen to it, listen to cuts, and actually purchase it?
Okay, so, I mean, first of all, we do a lot of our communication on Facebook. I mean, because the majority of the people are already on Facebook, so we do a lot there. And then as far as purchasing the album, it'll be available on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, you know, initially. And then we're going to look, you know, for other outlets, you know, and other things to, you know, out to places to sell our music, other retail venues.
Yeah, because the old John, you know, the old Tower Records and those places, they don't, they're gone. So
it's a whole they don't different. Exist anymore.
Yeah, there's a whole new wave of how to market and distribute your product.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of internet going on, a lot of internet shopping. Of course, you know, our live performances will have plenty with us for people to purchase there. And those sorts of things. So we'll definitely have them there.
Now, you mentioned Facebook. People can contact you via Facebook, so give us your identification for that.
Yeah, that's facebook.com/workingnotions.
Okay, give that again, and slowly, and spell it so they get it right.
No problem. facebook.com/workingnotion.
Okay. So how are you feeling? I mean, I know you're satisfied. I know you feel good about the product. How are you feeling? You know, because it's like when everybody wants to be validated. I mean, you have your own internal sense of fulfillment and purpose. But you also want to be validated and appreciated for what you're doing because you're doing it for people. So how are you feeling right now?
I wouldn't use the word satisfied unless you're talking with the album itself. I am satisfied with the quality we put into it. That, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But not satisfied, never satisfied. I want to just keep getting out there and getting the music in front of more people that I know will appreciate it. You know, the people that I mean, and you know, I might be speaking a little bit for myself because I've done mostly solo projects, but the people that I've come across so far and all that type of stuff have been very supportive. You know, the people that currently follow my, you know, updates and listen to my music are very supportive and very encouraging and they genuinely show a lot, you know, like for what I'm doing and so far I like for what Matt and I are doing together. So you know, I just want to find more of those people, you know, and make sure that they find us, you know, and so that, you know, there's a genuine thing here, you know, it's definitely an exchange, you know, we give, you know, good music out and in exchange we get back, you know, a lot of good vibes and stuff from these people that really appreciate what we do.
Matt, what genre would you consider? Because, you know, Trey, a lot of times they promote him as smooth jazz, or he's like cool R&B, that kind of thing. So what, in your mind, if you had to be pigeonholed, and I know no one likes to be pigeonholed, what would you say the genre is?
Jazz rock.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like electric guitars and rock instruments. My best instrument is guitars and drums. So I think that's one of the reasons me and Trey's fusion is pretty interesting, because he brings a very, very pure contemporary jazz feel to music, and I bring a more fusion element to it with my style of orchestration. I'm a lot of rock elements. So if you had to pigeonhole me, I'd say just call me jazz rock or even soul music.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy with wherever people want to put me. If they want to put me as music you listen to while you eat your dinner, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think because I followed Trey's career and I've seen some of the things that he's done. You know, he's performed live at, say, you know, a college FM station. So he has that almost like an alternative or another stream or an underground stream, a following. And like you said, terrestrial radio is taking a hit because it's so sane. It's so uncreative and unimaginative. So I think the fact that you guys are doing what you're doing offers a challenge to get it out there, but at the same time, the blessing is that you can't be really pigeonholed and put in one of those situations where you hope you make the playlist of some format and, you know, and get exposure that way.
Yeah, and it's not the time for that either. I mean, the times have changed.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm like one of the biggest fans of the times changing because, you know, who wants to have to be pigeonholed into a format and told that you need to have a guitar solo that's exactly 16 bars here and that it can't be too edgy or he shouldn't step out of the major pentatonic scale during this solo. And he's got to play it safe here. That's a little bit too much edge on that. There's, you know, who wants to hear that? You know, why don't you, you know, you want to pour into it what you feel so that somebody on the other end feels something. I mean,
right.
It's no wonder
right.
that radio stations and formats are dying when people, the music is nothing for them to feel. It's just for something for them to ride the elevator to, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, of course. Nothing wrong.
No,
but,
or it's coming down to the point now where radio has codified itself, at least a lot, to a large extent, and just pushing formats, sameness, and commercials. So who wants to get stuck up in that?
Right. It, you know, it's playing it safe. We know that this sells. We know that this exact format sells, this exact, you know, 3 minutes and 37 seconds per track and all of those different things sell. So we're going to stick with that with everything we do, you know, and then that's kind of, it's kind of dangerous because, yeah, when you get pigeonholed into that, you're going to get really boring really fast.
Well,
and people are going
to
catch on.
Yeah, but I think that what we're seeing now is people's reaction to that because, like you said, people have other options now. Now, it may not be broadcasting in the traditional sense. It's more niche casting where people are looking for certain things. They're not looking for the dullness. They're not looking for the sameness. And so by you being you and having and Matt being himself and having integrity to your art and your purpose, I think, like you said, you give off that energy and those people, via the law of attraction, who are looking for something genuine, looking for something integrous, and looking for something different and unique will be attracted to what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything at now, Trey? You have a website. Are you still going to use that to promote this CD?
At this point, we haven't made any modifications to that site to promote the CD. But that site does direct it redirects users to the Facebook site, which is promoting it. So at this time, that's what that's doing. We've got some future plans for the website that we're going to unveil later.
Okay. All right.
And my website's updated. I have it directing.
Okay. Well, give us that.
All the articles. MTS, as in Matthew T. Chell, music.net.
All right. Give that again.
MTS, music.net. And I have all the articles we've been in on that site. I have links to iTunes, Amazon, everywhere the album's going to be. And the Rock With You music video playing right off the top. So that site is like Freedom Central.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're almost out of time. We're going to close with Juice, and that'll do it for today's program. Any closing remarks, anything you want our listeners to know about you, Matt, you, Trey, and the work itself?
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
I just want to say thank you, God, for all the blessings we're getting. Just want to say thank you to my parents, to my music mentor, Andre Law, to my fiance, Tara Tuono, to one of my best friends, Javier Starks, who, you know, I've worked with a lot, and I just want to see him succeed. I love that dude. I just want to give shout outs just to them right now. I just hope that God blesses everyone in our circle, and for your listeners, just thank you for your time.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, family does, you know, blood is thicker than water, so it was my pleasure to help.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it. Thank you for quickly, I mean, with no hesitation, you know, jumping in to support here. I mean, it was very quick.
So, well, I didn't want to get caught up in the tailwind of everybody else getting out there, and I'm the last one on the train.
Well, right. There's something to be said about being, you know, about being first to the table too.
That's right. Listen, it's been a pleasure. I hope to have both of you back again, and keep me abreast of what you're doing. And if you're in the Philadelphia area, we'll definitely come see you.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Now, before you go, give us the Facebook ID and both websites, the URLs for both websites, and we'll let you go with our gratitude.
You go ahead first, Trey.
Okay, well, currently the best place to catch me is on facebook.com/ Trey Ely Jazz, and so that's TREYELEY Jazz, so facebook.com/ Trey Ely Jazz. Company site where we're doing all of our music production, where you'll see plenty of stuff about Freedom, our projects, and other artists that we work with is facebook.com/ Working Notion. Matt, if you want to give your site.
And then my site is mtsmusic.net, and you can just Google Matthew Show and find a lot more about the work we're doing.
Okay. All right, hold on now. Our guests have been Trey Ely and Matthew Shell, musicians, producers, sound engineers, mixers, whose new album, new CD, Freedom, comes out on August 30th. And as we promised, we're going to share some more of the artistry of Trey Ely. And the first cut you're going to hear is entitled Twilight. It's on the CD. It features Greg Adams on trumpet. And then we're going to close out with Juice, just to give you some idea of the versatility of this young man. As we close out each program, we encourage you to engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination, faith, no.